Well, hello, hello, everybody. I sitting here right now, drinking a cup of tea, watching some things online, and thought I would shoot off a podcast today. I've had a last couple of days has been really interesting. I came home the other night. We had worked. I'm still running around working right now, selling ice cream. Probably going to be doing that till mid-December. And then close up for till March. So we worked, my son and I, my youngest son, Tristan, who is 18 now, which is hard to believe he's 18. I can't believe I have raised five children to be adults, and I'm so thankful and grateful and blessed that I had the opportunity to be there for them. That was always my biggest wish, was to make sure I lived long enough to, that they knew I loved them and that, they knew me and that, they were adults and I did it. But now I have grandchildren that came along that I'm completely obsessed with. And so that whole thought process has started all over for me again, hoping that, I'm alive long enough to see them all grow up. So, my nose is a little stuffy. I apologize. I've got either a cold or allergies working in me, so I have a little bit of a stuffed up nose here, so bear with me. So we worked and we came home the other night, and we were sitting here. We must have sat at the table for an hour, maybe not quite an hour, and we always put things on to watch. There's a show. I don't usually, tell people or redirect people to go to shows. The guys are immature, but I mean, if you're an older person and you don't, if that kind of stuff annoys you, listening to the banter of really young people, that's basically what I mean when I say that. They joke around a lot. They're probably in their early 20s, maybe even late teens. I'm not sure how old they are, but it's called Twin Paranormal, and it's quite an interesting show. They do ghost hunting with some equipment, and I've never seen or heard a team get clearer messages from the other side than these guys do. So you might want to check it out if you're into that kind of stuff. I don't know if you like to watch ghost hunting, but I have a very open mind with everything because I'm searching, I'm searching for answers, and I'm open to listen and hear, whatever I can find, really. And I pretty much, I feel like I allow God to show me. It isn't that God wants me to get into this stuff. It's just that I think He's showing me, giving me answers. And to me, the reason that I investigate it and I look into this, kind of dark side of things is that I want to know what's going on out there. I want to know what we're up against. I want to know what people do that works, that gets them to go away. I want to know how to fight these beings and entities and creatures if it came down to it. So it's, to me, it's about knowledge and knowing how to protect myself and my family and loved ones, and even everybody. I mean, if I can get the message out that this works, this is what happened to this person, and this is possible, this stuff is happening, these people are seeing sightings, if you use the name of Jesus, this makes them go away. There's a lot of stuff. So that's why I do this, and that's why I started to podcast and send information out there. This isn't a contest for me. It's not, to be some great podcast that, everybody raves about, or to get all, hurt because people don't like you, or they don't like your voice, or, they don't like the stuff you talk about, or, oh, they're gonna, unfollow you because you disagreed with one, topic of conversation that they don't agree with, or subject, or whatever. I don't do it for that reason. I do this because it was a calling for me. It ended up to be something that I actually just, got led into. I never planned on this ever. And I really don't care about winning any awards. You know, this to me is a way to get information out there to all of you so you know what to do. That's what this is about. So, getting back to the subject at hand, we came home from work and we sat at the table and we were eating and we were watching things on TV. We were watching the Twin Paranormal, which is on YouTube. And my son got up and he washed his hands. He went to the downstairs bathroom. You know, we were just talking and just all this time had lapsed. And he went, you know, he went into the bedroom downstairs to, he has video games down there he plays, and he ended up passing out because he was really tired. I drug him out to work with me, and he has to learn to work, so I kind of encourage it because he's a gamer. And so he fell asleep in there, and I'm sitting here by myself. You know, I continue to watch some things. I made a cup of tea. I'm out here just relaxing, and in comes this flying creature, and I'm like, oh dear God, there's a bat in the house. And I just about freaked out. I mean, my dad was bitten by a bat when he was a kid. I went to this camp named Camp Susqua, and he went into this cabin with me to take me there, and I wondered why he was looking around and he acted all weird. And later I found out that that was the very cabin that he was bitten by a bat in, and that's the first cabin I stayed in. So I'm sure that was traumatic for him to take me there. And had I known that this happened to him, I don't know how gung-ho I would have been. And this is the cabin that one of my friends up there actually got in her bunk, and she laid down and she looked over, and there's I believe it was a rattlesnake that was curled up in her bunk. So it's quite an active cabin, but it was a neat cabin. I mean, I really liked it. So this creature's flying around the house, and I'm, you know, it's got a really good wingspan. It's not small. And I'm sitting in here convincing myself as I'm screaming, and not really screaming, but I did yell, and somehow my hat got tossed across the room. That's the one thing you need the most is a hat. And I jumped up and I'm thinking, okay, hopefully this is a bird, you know, because I'm kind of like a bird lady. I go out and feed the birds and they come to me, and you know, I have a really good relationship with the birds around here. So I thought, well, maybe, you know, one, because we've had birds get in through the basement before up through the house. We don't know how, but there's some kind of an opening down there. We still have not figured out how, but they've done it. The one day my husband went out and there was this really big crow standing on the kitchen counter. And then we've had other birds in the house. So I was really praying that this was a bird because, you know, it was quiet and it was flying around and it seemed bigger than it should be for a bat. And so I'm running around trying to figure out what to do. And I opened up a door, thought I'd open up another door, but then I was like, no, I want to make sure it goes out. I want to see it go out. So I closed up that door. I'm racing around the house and I'm trying to get this bat out of the house. And after a while I see it come in and, you know, I'm still not sure it's a bat, but I'm pretty sure it's a bat because it just seemed logical. So I'm standing at the door and I see it come in like twice and it does not come out towards the door, which you could feel a draft of wind. No idea why it wouldn't come out other than it probably liked the warmth. And so I decided I'm going to close up this door and I'm going to go around the other way and I'm going to open up that door instead because it was going in that room when it would come through the kitchen. It would go in through, it's like a laundry area, foyer area. And it's where the back door is. And so I went around to try to open that. That was locked from the screen door. And I could have kicked my kid's butt because my oldest son, Cody, comes. And apparently he locked the screen door. And I was like, great, now I can't get in this from the outside. So I had to go through the house. And I'm ducking. And I'm like talking to myself going, oh, God, I hate this. I hate this. You know, and I'm like, this thing's going to hit me in the head or something. And I've heard that, you know, they can carry rabies, and when a bat bites you, you don't necessarily feel the bite because they're small. There's people that have had bites from bats and they didn't know they had them, or they broke the skin and you get rabies that way. So, because it is a virus, it can get in through broken skin. So, I went in through the house and I opened the door and I got outside and I'm standing out there, standing out there, standing out there. It's freezing. And I'm like, this is crazy. I can't stand here all night. So I see it fly in And then it goes halfway through the room and it flies back out before I got the screen door open. So I have a bench I sit on out there and I feed the birds on this bench and I sit out there and I enjoy myself. And my oldest son, Cody, again, who I think let the bat in the house because I've caught him, he smokes and I always make everybody smoke outside. I've never allowed anybody to smoke in the house. And he stands there. Sometimes he doesn't have his shoes on and he doesn't want to go out and get his feet wet. So I've caught him standing there with the door open and he smokes out. He leans outside, but he has the screen door open. And I'm like, this is how this bat got in. So apparently he had moved my bench all the way over so he could get his scooter through because he's been riding the scooter around. And so I go, as I'm watching the door, I'm backing up to what I thought was my bench, and I go to sit down, and I land right down on my butt. I'm laying there rolling around because I hurt my knee, because my knee bent back, it bent normal, but it was just too far because I'm getting older. And so I'm laying there rolling around the ground, like going, oh my God, my knee. And as I'm watching the door the entire time, making sure I don't miss this bat if it goes out. I mean, this was a spectacle. It was crazy. I could have absolutely strangled my son. I was like, I cannot believe this. First he lets a bat in the house, then he moves my bench and I literally just fall. I mean, it's like a free fall. You go to sit down and the seat's just not there. And it should have been there where I was standing. I should have been able to just sit right down because I've done it so many times. I know where the bench is. So we finally, Matt, who is like the Batman, bats seem to like Matt. They're drawn to him for some reason. He's woken up with them walking up the bed before in another house we lived in, which we had. There was a house we lived in that the attic, it did get some bats in. It was a beautiful attic. Somehow the bats got in it. We didn't see traces of them, but we knew they were in there because we saw a couple that would come out into the house. And then one time we caught one and it went out, and then we saw it come back around and go into, the attic area. So we knew they were up there. It was a clean attic, though. We don't know where they were, but they were up there somewhere, even if it was like on the exterior. But one got in one time and was actually walking up his bed, yelling at him. And I thought, my God, there must have been something wrong with this bat because it was so aggressive. And so we had some times with it. And then another one, the funniest story was when he was in the bedroom and one was sitting on the dresser. And I've told this story before, but he thought I bought a little gargoyle knick-knack. I had fallen asleep and I cracked the window. And the window didn't have a screen in it. And I cracked it from the top to let some air in. And I forgot about it and I fell asleep. And I know that's how this bat got in, which means it was flying around me when I was sleeping. And so he came home and it was perched on the dresser upstairs. It was the tall dresser. And he's in there stretching and he's like doing all this stuff, and he's standing in front of this bat, and the bat's just sitting there looking at him, and he thinks I bought a knick-knack. He thinks I bought some kind of a little decoration. He's like, oh, Tracy must have bought like a little gargoyle or something. And he's like looking at this thing, and he's like standing in front of it, stretching and doing stuff, and he's like looking. He gets down, he gets closer and closer to it to look at the detail, and he's like, wait a minute. And all of a sudden this thing just spreads its wings and jumps out at him. And Tristan and I are downstairs on the couch, and we had woken up and we had fallen asleep watching something, and we heard this just crash upstairs, and we're like, oh my God, because Matt is not accident prone. He's very together, very in control of himself. He just, when he falls, it is one of the funniest things you ever could imagine to us, because he just doesn't do that, and so we hear this horrible crash, and then all of a sudden we're like looking at each other, and then we hear another crack, and then we hear another crash, and we're just like, oh my God. And we're just like, you know, we run to the steps, like, Matt, are you okay? He's like, there's a bat in the house. And he's like up there just, I guess what he did was he just like, the bat like flew at him and he drops. And then he tries to get out the door, but the door was partly open. So as he's running out the door, he crashes into the door, like, you know, the side of it, like, you know, where it's like really thin, the thin part. And he crashes into this. He almost knocks himself out. He falls again. Then he gets back up again. And then he falls again going, I mean, he's like scared to death. And so we're just, oh my God, the story was so funny. We were laughing so hard. But then we're trying to get the bat out. He's scared to death. And I've become very brave with getting bats, which is weird. Because you'd think I would be, so I am scared of them. But like, I'm always the one that gets it. And so, but he finds them. Like, so he found that bat. It was actually laying on the floor, hiding, just laying there still. So they actually lay on floors. They're not always up. We're always looking for bats up on a ledge or up in the curtains or something. They're up. This thing was laying on the floor flat, and it was just laying there, like trying to be really still. So we got it. We got it outside. We let it go. We don't kill things unless we absolutely have to. And so this bat, same thing. He went through the house and he's looking and he found it. I couldn't believe he found it. I was like, I don't know how you find these things, because I don't think my eyes would like grasp, you know, that differential with the shapes and everything like he does. So this thing was, we have really tall ceilings in the living room and these really thick curtain rods and curtains. And it was up, it was actually up on the curtain rod over to the side, and you could just make out like the little side of it. You could see kind of like breathing fast. So we're like, how are we going to get this thing down? So he's like, because it's tall, you know? And I'm like, I'm not climbing up there with a ladder, you know? You don't know when it's going to start flying. So, you know, we're running around with like tennis rackets and all this stuff to try to protect ourselves. And, so he's trying to tap things and he can't get it to come out. I said, I know what I can do. I go get my squirt bottle, because I have a squirt bottle I keep for my hands. I'm always, I have an allergy to cardboard, so I keep a squirt bottle in my car, because that way if I touch anything, I can wash, like, rinse my hands off, and as soon as I rinse off my skin, the rash, or not rash, but it's like a reaction, like you'll get like a streak or like some hives, and it goes away fairly quickly. So it's actually, it's a really strange allergy. But, so I went out and got my squirt bottle, and I came and I put it on the, you know, that really hard stream, and I started squirting it, and I was over next to it. Like, I was underneath it, and I saw it spread its wings and start coming down the wall, and I was screaming, running away, like, oh my God, oh my God, like running away. And I had the front door open, and I was, you know, I was waiting for it to come out that way, because that would have been perfect door for it to go out of, because there was not really a hallway that would deter it like in the other areas that I had. I have like two hallways and the other doors. So, so it didn't come out still. It just freaking disappeared. And we're like, oh my dear Lord, like what is going on with this bat? It doesn't want to, you know, I figured maybe it was just tired. I don't know how long it was in here. It could have been here for days. We don't know. But I'm pretty sure Cody let it in, and I'm pretty sure, you know, it probably went into my attic once I let it outside. But so Matt found it again, and it was laying on the floor. And I'm like, this is the second bat now that's actually laying still on a floor. And so for anybody that ever gets a bat, make sure you check your floors, because they go on floors and they stay perfectly still and they don't move. And so this, we see this little fuzzy shape, and it's brown, like a chocolate color. And Matt's like, there it is. Because we thought it went like behind the one pillow. We weren't sure where it went. And I was like, sitting there thinking, oh God, I got to do this laundry now. And so he found it. It basically just dropped from the curtain and went down on the hardwood floor. And it laid there. So I went in. I got this old Matt Saves jars. And I got this one that was like for, you know, a lot of nuts. You keep it. So it's a wider plastic jar. And I just went in and I put it over it. And he's like, you're really going to do this? And I'm like, yes. I'm like, we got to get it out. And then I taped some coasters together, some cardboard coasters, which, you know, they didn't bother me, but I did that. And then I slipped it under, and it was making this little chirpy sound like a couple times. It was so cute. I was like, oh my God, this thing is so sweet, because it was so, it was really calm. It wasn't a bat. Like, even when it was flying in the kitchen, the reason I thought it was a bird, other than the fact that the wingspan was a little larger, was because it was slow. It was kind of like, it was almost like flying, like a bird would fly, instead of that real erratic flying. It didn't really have that. So I know they're supposed to be in hibernation now, or going into hibernation. And I have a feeling it was looking for warmth and it was getting ready to hibernate. And, things maybe were slowing down for it. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was in there for days and we just didn't know it, which is a really freaky thought. But so I got it outside and we were looking at it. And I was, and, I was looking at it going, "It's okay, baby. We're taking you outside." And you could see its little eye and it was looking at me and it was shivering. It was trembling. And Matt's going, "Oh my gosh, it's trembling." I'm like, "I know. It's so sad." So I took it outside and I like just kind of put the jar down real quick and let the coaster out, and I start booking back to the house. I'm like, "Oh my God, oh my God," because I was worried it was gonna start flying and hit, come after me or something, But it didn't. It did. And Matt's like, it's not going anywhere. It's just staying on the coaster." So then we went back out, and I was like looking. I go, "Yeah, it's just laying there." And then it's probably just kind of in shock, but it was alive. I mean, it was okay. We didn't hurt it or anything. And then I got in the house, and I went back the next morning to check it, and it was gone. And then I turned around and I looked at the house. I thought, "Oh dear God, it's in the attic. I know it is." I was like, "I know darn well this thing is in the attic." So it just, like, got it out of the house and probably went back to, up to the attic, and I sealed the door. Of course, I've had the attic door sealed. Like, we don't go in the attic. I don't use the attic or the basement for anything. I learned a long, long time ago that, that stuff is created to vent your house and do things like that. It is not created for storage unless you have an exceptionally dry or pest-free area. It's not good to put things for storage in attics or basements. I've never had much luck in it with it. Attics, I've always found, mouse droppings, and basements, you get mold. It just seems like it, you don't see the mold, and then you put something down there that's fabric, and after a while it starts to show signs of mold. So, we keep our attic and basement is very nice. It's dry and clean, but we don't put anything in either place. We just don't use them. We have a garage outside that actually we've had some good luck with. We don't see signs of critters. There's no mold problems. Like, it's just a really great place. We have a two-story garage out there, and it's a really great place to store things. So, but yeah, we don't do the attic and the basement. But we do find signs of life at times. I mean, bees' nests in the attic, and critter droppings. And we have, we've got, we take all the steps we can, but they still somehow they get in at times. So I just don't want my stuff up there or down there. But it was a crazy day. It was a crazy night. But last night I found myself walking around the house scared to death that the bat had returned and got in somehow. So I'm hoping it doesn't come back. And then the other night, so this is why I wanted to do the podcast, when I was talking about some things. We get home from work, and I step out of the bus, and I look up, and there is this just, it must have been 30 UFOs right above my head. Very, very bright. It was like this, I don't know exactly what kind of formation it was in, but it was just so shocking. It was so big and bright and absolutely stunning to see this, and it was right over the garage. Sorry guys, had to take a brief pause there. I got interrupted by a family member, of course. Okay, so getting back to what I was saying, so we got home from work, I got out of the bus, I looked up, and there are just so many lights up there in the sky. It was unbelievable. They were directly over my head. They were completely bright. And I was just, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I've never seen anything so close and so bright. It was just nuts. And there must have been 30 lights in the sky. And I yelled for Tristan, and they started to move away as I was yelling for him. And he came out of the bus, and he was like, "You know what?" I said, "You've got to see this." I was like, "Get out here." And he looked up, and as he came out, they were starting to move away a little bit, but faded. Like they were getting, you know, because they were getting farther away, they weren't as bright. Like when they were directly over my head, they were so bright. And he couldn't believe it. What he saw was just, he was shocked. So, and then of course I was like, you know, run and get your camera, hurry. And so we ran into the bus and he got his phone and he, you know, he took some shots of it, but by then it was just, you know, you couldn't see it as much. And this was, I mean, there's just, there's nothing I've ever seen that even comes close to this. This was really, you know, it was, I mean, if this wasn't a group of UFOs, I don't know what this was. And then it just like, they just disappeared, just like blinked out. And so we were just like, you know, flipping out. And then I was like, just going on and on about it. Just, you know, I was just in disbelief. So we closed up the bus and we got in the car and he was like, you know, Mom, I just heard something weird. And I was like, okay, let's just get out of here, you know? And so, we got in the car, you know, we started the car and we left. And as we were driving down the road, Tristan said, Mom, look up. And I was like, what? And he said, there's a chopper. And I looked up and we have, you know, helicopters that fly around for life flight, but they're very low. I mean, you can see them and they're usually like, you know, a brighter color, white, whatever. And this one was like a black, dark helicopter that was way up. It wasn't flying low, like it was going to be landing at the hospital or anything. And we were just, I mean, we were just stunned. It was absolutely insane. And it kind of, I had just heard an episode, I don't know, for any of you who don't know who David Politis is, he does the Can-Am Missing Project, and I recommend that you watch his channel. Wholeheartedly recommend it. Whether you like him or don't like him or, you know, whatever, just watch it. It's very important. And he was just talking about a place that he had visited that was known for a lot of UFO activity. And I cannot remember the name of it off the top of my head. But it's in one of his more recent episodes. And he said when he visited this place, he had seen a major UFO sighting. There were just like, you know, I don't know if there were dozens of them or, you know, 10 of them or whatever, but there were many. And he said he couldn't believe it because, you know, he'd gone there hearing about the reputation and never really thought he was going to actually see a sighting, just kind of was visiting the place, I guess. You know, that's kind of what I had grasped from, you know, how he was recounting the story. And he said that when he got there, he was, you know, actually, I think he had actually filmed some of it or had gotten some pictures of it as well. And so it just reminded me of the people and the sightings where, you know, they see all these UFOs in groups, and that's pretty much what we experienced. So it was really cool, but it was a little bit unsettling that it was right directly over my head. I mean, it was literally right above my head, and it was like I was looking up, like underneath whatever they were. I don't want to say, you know, the ships or the, you know, the flying saucers, whatever, but it was weird. It was very interesting. And, you know, the thing about it is, I don't know how many of you have gotten into some of my, earlier podcast episodes, but, you know, I live in an area that's very wooded. The front of our property is on, it's on what they would call, considered like a country road, but it's at the very beginning of it. So it's kind of, there's some houses, and if you walk out the front, you'll see it almost looks like a neighborhood with the houses spread apart. Now you go back into the back of our property and it's a completely different world. It's a world where we get bear, deer, all kinds of wildlife. There's a stream running through the not through the actual property, but right around the corner on the road. There's a major stream that runs through. There's mountains, there's trees, there's caves, there's a graveyard up the road that was from back in the day when human beings were enslaved and they would escape to this area and then the copperheads would come up and try to hunt people, and, you know, there were some deaths. And so there's a road that has, our back road there has a cemetery. And we have everything up here. Like there, it's every, you know, description of what you could possibly find in the sightings that people have. And on top of that, there was a Bigfoot sighting back in the 80s. They had a some kind, I don't remember, I think it was in 83 or 85 or something, there was a Sasquatch sighting. So, you know, and with these caves up here, the caves are crazy. Oh, and there's also, there's a boulder field. There's a huge rock quarry and boulder field right around the corner as well. So it's every scenario that's described pretty much, you know, that would draw the cryptid, you know, world's attention. So that's where we live. And it's pretty crazy. So so that happened, and I wanted to tell you guys about this. It was really a shocking sighting. So I was thinking about the Bible and the claim that the end times, men's hearts would fail them for what comes upon the earth. And it just hits you that, my God, it's here. This is what we're dealing with. And it made me think about Robin when she had said the Sasquatch that she she's close to, I think it's Brownie. Robin had said that they told her that they are gearing up for the great battle. And I'm wondering, or, you know, there's a part of me that feels like, are they befriending people and conning them? Are they making them think that they're good? You know, and then in the time when this great battle pops off, possibly between humans and demons, which I believe they are. I believe that, and I'm not saying I'm right, and I'm not saying there aren't good ones, okay? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I believe that the Sasquatch and the Dogmen and the ETs they were created by the Watchers, and I believe that their DNA, the angel DNA, was put into creatures like wolves and apes and, you know, humans and anything and everything you could imagine. And they were creating different beings. And I believe that they created them and that that's what they are. And that's why they live both in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. I believe they walk, you know, in both realms, and they have the abilities to disappear. They can apparate, they can cloak, they can mind speak, they can hypnotize. They're large in stature, like giants, like the Watchers had created the giants. They were their children. It all adds up. It's all in alignment with what Enoch talks about. It's in alignment with the Bible. It just makes sense to me. So that's what I feel in my heart of hearts and, you know, in my soul, that this is what these beings are. I'm not saying every single one of them is bad. I believe that just like human beings, that there are good ones and there are bad ones. There are killers and there are ones that, you know, would befriend and help humans. And I think there's ones that kill and hunt and eat human beings. And that's just the way it is. I mean, there's humans that do it. Why on earth wouldn't there be Dogmen and Bigfoot and such that would do it? And demons and everything else. So I definitely believe that that's what they are. I think that's the answer to them. And as far as the ETs, I was told that by God. I remember hearing it from the Lord when I was sitting there one day, and he said, you know, Tracy, they're demons. And I hadn't thought of that because I was thinking that they were another race of being that God had created. You know, and he didn't just create humans. He might have created more things. And I had convinced myself that that's what they were. And then I heard God's voice in my head say, no, Tracy, they're demons. And I was like, it blew my mind because I hadn't even thought of that. And I was like, wow, that's wild. Like, they're actually, you know, so I believe that there is going to be a war. And that's what the Bigfoot was talking to Robin about, this great battle. So I was sitting here today watching this, another podcast or, you know, another clip on YouTube, and it was showing all these houses and it was talking about some Dogmen sightings and such, Bigfoot sightings, you know, things like that. And you see this town and it's beautiful. It's got all these houses and it's got, you know, this beautiful lake around it, and it's got all on the outskirts of town. You see this town, and then when you look at it from an aerial view, you see this beautiful lake, you see the town. Behind the town is this huge forest. In front of the town is this huge lake. And I'm like, dear God, in the end times, or whenever this great battle happens, these beings have infiltrated our planet to the point where they will come out of that forest behind all these houses. They will come up out of that water in front of all these houses, and they will drop out of the sky. They're going to come out of everywhere. They're everywhere. They have infiltrated every speck of this planet, air, forest, and water. They're in all of it. And we don't know, I don't think people understand what we're up against. I don't think they have any idea, what we're looking at here and how big this is. This is just absolutely enormous. I mean, it's so big, but I don't know. I was talking about how, these things are man-eaters, that these are eaters of humans, that they hunt and they consume humans. I believe that they're consuming human beings, and I think that people need to understand that. I think everybody, what they really need to do, the people that really believe in this stuff, I don't think it would be such a bad idea to go out and get yourself a 50 gauge shotgun, and have some really strong ammo on hand, and keep it locked up and safe to where you can get it easy when you need to and quick. But I'm thinking like flamethrower and, some 50 caliber, rifles would do the trick. But this thing with the government trying to take guns, I understand. I see people's point of view with it. I really do. I know that people feel that if, guns are, outlawed, that we're going to be safe. But you have to understand, our Constitution was written that the guns were obtained so that we could fight against the government if the government ever turned on the people. That was the initial problem. I mean, not to mention, what they were up against with Indians, and then there was the Old West, and there was a lot of stuff that was going on. But they're there to protect the people, and people are going to kill. They're going to kill if they want to kill. People are going to find a way to kill. Whether you like it or not, they can make, homemade bombs. They can use other weapons. They can use knives. I mean, they will find a way. So what I have a problem with is that, you take the guns off the streets, or not off the streets, but out of homes, and out of the hands of law-abiding citizens. The only ones that are going to end up getting the guns are going to be the criminals. They will get the guns. The law-abiding citizens won't have the guns, and the criminals still will. So yeah, it's an ideal thought to think, if we take the guns, off the streets, that we're gonna be safer, that, we're not gonna have these school shootings, and we're not gonna have this, and we're not gonna have that. But the bottom line is, we need to protect ourselves. And if we have creatures now that are coming out, if we've got dogmen that are real, and we've got Bigfoot that are real, and there is a great battle, or, if the giants, supposedly they've returned in Afghanistan, it's a well-known fact. The villagers know that they see the giants in the mountains in Afghanistan. They've seen them. They talk about it. It's just common knowledge there. Everybody goes in at night. And I'm sure they have weapons and such, but they said that they run like leopards, and they're huge, and they live in the caves up in the mountains. They're back. The giants are back. And we're going to need to protect ourselves. So, any thought of outlawing our guns is absolutely crazy. That is going to leave us as sitting ducks. So I don't think people really need to be thinking along those lines. But anyway, wanted to tell you some of my goings on here. Had some other stuff this week happen where I was sitting in my room. It was about 3 weeks now. I was sitting there, and I heard a metal piece fall in the hallway. And things don't just fall on their own. So I thought, my God, okay. And I didn't think much of it. I just kind of dismissed it. I knew it was, something in the house because I can feel like, you know, entities and spirits and stuff around me a lot. You know, there's just always stuff going on around here. And then the other day it happened, something else happened where I was sitting there and I heard something clank that fell again in the hallway. And I was like, oh my God, okay, I know you're here. You know, I don't know who you are, but just be quiet and, you know, just be civil. And then my lights in my bedroom keep coming off and on. I'll leave and I'll come back and my bedroom light will be on. It happened a few weeks ago again. I left to take my son to work and came home and my bedroom light was blaring and nobody had touched it. And, you know, sometimes I'll walk out and I'll walk back in and the light will be off when it was on, or, you know, vice versa. This stuff has been going on, but it's been, you know, a little bit active around here lately. Obviously got UFOs flying over my house and some kind of spirit thing, you know, just, you know, making noise and doing some stuff in the house. So it's been pretty crazy. But I'm going to be playing my Christmas story next. I'm going to do that every year. I'm going to put my Halloween story up and my Christmas story and get that on for you guys so you can enjoy it. I like to do it before Thanksgiving because to me, Thanksgiving and Christmas is kind of mixed together. You know, you can start decorating once Halloween's over for Christmas. So the one thing I do find really odd is when I'm driving around and I see Halloween decorations up when Thanksgiving's coming, I'm like, okay, you don't mix Thanksgiving with your spooky ghoul-like decorations. And, you know, I've told some of my customers, I'm like, why don't you just turn your pumpkin around? And they're like, what do you mean? I said, take your jack-o'-lantern and turn it around so it looks just like a pumpkin. And then you can use that as a decoration for Halloween or for Thanksgiving. And they're like, oh yeah, that would be a great idea. And I'm like, yeah, just turn it around. And so you can take all your jack-o'-lanterns and turn them around and it just looks like you've got pumpkin decorations. So, it's just like when Halloween's over, those decorations need to be put away like right away. And then, you know, Thanksgiving comes out and then you can, you know, start doing Christmas too with Thanksgiving, and then you can basically keep that up till, you know, end of January, I would say is about the max. But I mean, people can do what they want. I'm not trying to tell them what to do. It's odd to me when I drive around and I see like jack-o'-lanterns and stuff and you've got Thanksgiving coming, and I'm like, no, it's supposed to be a time to be thankful, not the scary season. So it's pretty crazy. But anyway, I just wanted to drop in and tell you some goings on around here. And I'm going to be putting another podcast up soon outside of my, Christmas story. I'm going to try to get Robin on here, and I've had some people lined up for a while now, really good people, like a couple people that do exorcisms, and, there's a doctor, there's a bunch of different people that have been kind of in limbo waiting. The problem I'm having is sound. I'm having a really bad issue with my podcast app, which I have, you know, removed and reinstalled and removed and reinstalled. I cannot get it to stop glitching out on me. I don't know what is going on. I don't know if it's governmental interference. And I know people talk about that and that seems kind of like, oh yeah, whatever. But I'm starting to think there's something really odd going on because I've contacted Spotify and they said on their end, there should be nothing. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like I can't, whenever I do interviews with people, I have a lot of problems. So I'm trying to figure out a way to do a podcast. You know, maybe I might have to go in person or do something where I get online and do like a Skype thing, which I have to figure that out. I've done that before a few times, just talking to people. So I'm gonna have to figure out how to do that. But I'm working on it. I'm not sure yet what to do, but hopefully I can get this figured out and I can get these interviews done because I've got some really cool people lined up that are just waiting for me to give the word and they're ready to rock and roll. So hopefully it happens here. But you guys have a wonderful, wonderful day or evening, wherever you are. Love you guys, seriously. You know, God bless everybody. If you need prayer, let me know. And keep me in your prayers. Keep my family in your prayers. And I will be talking to you guys soon. Take care, everyone.